and welcome to another episode of the At Your Ends Dev podcast. My name is Morgan, and I'm joined as always with Mike and Jordan. And this is a fun one. Jordan's actually at my apartment, so we're actually podcasting live.
Whoa!
So yeah, it's a good time. Mike, sorry you're not here. I'm having a good time.
I've already been told the naked level's at 9.5 on a scale of 1 to naked, so I'm fine being
at my
house.
On a scale of 1 to naked, you're at 9.5.
So we'll go ahead and kind of take a look at everything. Guys, we have new standard results. It's so exciting.
Ooh,
new,
it's tingly.
New cards were played. So we, of course, we'll take a look at the new standard results. We'll have our typical question of the week, which is awesome to have a return of. And then we'll kind of dive into what we're getting into this weekend. Obviously, Star City Games Cleveland is coming up, so that is a huge deal for us. So we'll touch on that last. But first and foremost, let's take a look at some of the standings and some of the things that actually came out over the weekend. Now, we had the Star City Games Open, which was on Sunday, and we actually had a couple of, well, another local tournament that we kind of wanted to take a look at as well. But first, guys, so what did you think about the lists? Mono Red actually was the list that took it down. So what did you guys think about the list that we kind of saw from Star City?
I mean, the Mono Red lists, I think, are all fairly standard. I was glad to see, like, the main thing you have to make decisions on in Mono Red right now are the winning list was a Philip Bertarelli, I'm assuming the name, decided to play Boros Reckoners, and for that reason did not play Mutavolts. And I know you want to play Mutavolts in Mono Red, but I think one of the best parts about New Standard is that, like, not every deck that wants to can just cast Boros Reckoner. It's not like, oh, man, so I have, you know, 800 dual lands to cast this off of. So you get to, I think, power him up a little bit more. I will say that a lot of them were still playing, like, Burning Tree Emissaries and Ash Zealots at the same time, which is super awkward. But, yeah. Whatever works for them, I suppose. Like this deck also had Frostburn Weird out of the board, and, like, that doesn't work so well with Burning Tree Emissary either. But yeah. I get it, because this deck and a bunch of the other ones were packing 4 Fanatic of, I think it's Mogis?
Yeah.
Mogis. I got nothing.
Yeah, so it's a 4 mana, so it's 3 in a red for a 4/2 that enters the battlefield, and when it does, it deals damage to your opponent, or to each opponent, equal to the amount of devotion to red that you have. So it was sort of the reach, I think, that the mono red deck was kind of packing.
It definitely, it's an awkward card. I mean, like, it's a good point on the curve if you're on the play, but, like, if you're on the draw, like, game 2, like, I have to imagine those come out, because, like, you get Supreme Verdict, and you're like, well, 4/2, shoot you for 1.
Right. Yeah, I can't imagine those staying in. But, I mean, like, he has some sideboard cards against the control matchup. He was playing Burning Earth, which is definitely something I'd like to touch on. But he was also playing a Hammer Purphoros, which I think was huge against the control lists. I don't think they had a really good way to deal with it other than, you know, a detention sphere, and I remember watching Owen Turtenwald just use that and abuse that the entire game, and he, you know, played another mono red list to a top 8 finish as well. So I really think that Hammer Purphoros showed its strength in New Standard. Just being able to make, you know, haste dudes and any draw, even like a 1 draw be haste, post a board wipe or something like that, I think was definitely huge in the New Standard with the mono red deck.
And that card makes flooding a lot less awkward for mono red too. Like, oh, I drew my 5th land. Oh well, 5th 3/3 long hair, don't care. Like, I just said that
for sure.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I mean, it's for sure. Like, you want to make, like, their detention spheres. Like, do you detention sphere this? Do you detention sphere that? And I think post board, he has Burning Earth, Hammer, and Chandra's to be like, yeah, decide which one you want to, you know, detention sphere, because one of these permanents is staying in play.
Right. Yeah. The other thing's going to kill you. So what do I care? So I definitely think that Mono Red is the deck to beat this week, paired with, even our second place list or something like our fourth place list. So a blue-white X or a blue-white control list. So second place went to Max Teets. And don't giggle at that, Jordan.
Oh, jeez.
And he was just playing sort of a blue-white list. Even, I think it's still comparable to something that we saw post pre-rotation. And
the LSU list.
Yeah. So we even kind of knew this list was going to happen. I mean, I don't see anything that's really kind of shocks me or is out of the blue. At least in the main 60, I would say.
Yeah, the two of Yoke Docs is a little...
Well, I mean, the commentators all day were saying that his list was best. You know, he was very, very prepared for the Mono Red list. He knew that it was going to be there. And that's why he had things like Yoke Docs, you know, the good old 0/4 for one white in his sideboard.
Oh, that's not a mistype?
No.
Oh, he actually played those.
He played those. He cast those cards.
No, they were fine for him. Like, I will say, if you read the finals coverage, though, it's something, and I don't know if this is just, like, he wasn't prepared. I'm assuming this had to have happened more than one certain day, though. But, like, Chandra's clause about not being able to block is a very real thing.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, if you have a 0/4 on turn, even if you're on the draw, like, you're just going to stonewall one of his guys for a while, and then you're just going to wrath it away. And in a control deck, whatever helps you stabilize is fine. I sort of think it's that great. I do like the Last Breaths in the sideboard, because I think that card's pretty sweet.
I agree. But, I think that that's definitely a decent enough removal spell for the blue-white list. Obviously, if you splash black like Calcano did, and with Esper, you obviously get far, far better removal. So I definitely think that Last Breath is something that you'll see come in, and maybe even see in a stronger force against to prepare for Cleveland for mono red lists, because most of their stuff is, you know, 2x or less. Kind of awkward against things like Gorehouse Chainwalker and Boros Reckoner, but I mean, definitely still gets a Mutavault dead, which is something that though these blue white lists do have an issue with. And the one of Quicken. Was pretty interesting. Jordan and I were talking about that, and whether it was something that was really worth it if he ever... I assume it was there for maybe the one-off random flash Supreme Verdict for 5. I mean, I'm sure that he might have done that. I was thinking it might have been in there probably more often as just a cantrip or even just like a cantrip and divination. So it was like a draw 3 for 4, so...
I mean, honestly, like, it's just a cantrip that if you do get value off of it, you're fine.
Right.
But my guess is, like, 9 times out of 10, you know, if he had that in his hand and he played an island turn 1, he's probably cycling at the end of the turn.
Exactly, yeah. I didn't think it was anything super impactful. He just probably wanted another draw spell, and this is kind of what control players have at this point in time, unless they want to go, you know, go black and, yeah, really splash that list. Now, out of the other decks that did show up that were mono red, we did have 2 mid-range lists, both green red and Naya. Now, they both were very similar lists, in all honesty. The Naya list was honestly just splashing white for, I think, Luxon Smiter. But they look darn similar. Also, the Naya list has Selesnya Charm, which I think is pretty huge. It's definitely something that I think is very, very interesting. So let's kind of take a look here, and
what do we think about? I mean, Bola Krana is obviously going to be insane. That's a card that people said wouldn't see Standard play at all, and then here it is.
Yeah, I mean, bananas. I definitely think that he used it to great effect against the sort of the smaller list. I know that in the last round, this particularly David's list played against Ross Miriam's list. Which is a white-red humans list, which is what I wanted to be on. And he definitely played into that. He has a bunch of little tiny guys. So we'll kind of move on here and take a look at another event that was actually at Empire Cards. All right. So looking at the lists from Empire, we both kind of see first and second place being aggro lists. So the first one is a mono-white, a white weenie list, you know, something that's so similar to what I'm planning on running at Cleveland. So it's just your Savannah Lions plus pump, pretty much. Now, he does have some interesting decisions. He only has 2 Spear of Helion. Obviously, Spear of Helion in multiples isn't ideal, but I think most people have been aiming for 3 instead of the 2 that we see in Sam Church's list here. Another thing is he does have 2 Ajani's. I really, really like Ajani. Ajani is definitely one of the cards that I would love to play in my list, my white-red list. I think it was probably awesome for him, I imagine. It's just hard to deal with permanent that pumps your guys.
No, and for then, sure.
And then lastly, we have two Heliod, God of the Sun. Now, the white-red list that Ross Miriam piloted to ninth place at Star City didn't have any Heliod, when all the lists, whether it be mono-white or red-white or white-green, typically had some number of Heliod, usually around two. So it's pretty interesting to see it still being here while Ross decided to go a different direction.
He's also playing all four Cavalry Pegasus.
Yeah, in the main deck, not even sideboard. He's just, boom, right there. I mean, to be fair, it does give most of his creatures flying, so I think that is, you know, probably pretty solid for him. With lists like this, in the late game, it's hard to just maintain your evasion. So that's probably what he used to just make sure his guys constantly got over. And so I'm sure that it was probably pretty clutch for him a few times.
I mean, it's pretty interesting, but it's all, I mean, I don't know. It's like, it is like just the worst draw. Like, all right, what do I draw? All right, my two drop, 1/1. All right, empty board. Let's do this.
I mean, it must have worked out for him somehow. I mean, look at his sideboard too. He has a right, two right control. In his sideboard. Is that the one?
Sick in the mirror match? Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I should use that tech. Maybe it'll just be awesome. And we see Gideon finally, this card might be playable now. Gideon, Champion of Justice, as probably just, honestly, I think it's just for the control matchup, is just a hard to deal with permanent. I can't imagine it being anywhere else. What do you think, Mike, Jordan?
I don't even know if it's good in the control matchup. Like, obviously, that's what it's there for, probably. But, like, it just dies to so much stuff, like Detention Sphere, the Exile Target White Permanent thing.
Glare Heresy.
Yeah, Glare. Yeah. It's just, you can just counter it. Like, it just seems like it's, yeah, I don't have the answer, I guess. But at the same time, it seems like there's too many answers in blue-white for me to care.
I think Gideon's really, really rough against, like, an Azorius Charm. Like, otherwise you just like you say, yeah, I want to blow up the world against control, but you actually probably have to tick it up 10 times.
Right.
Because it'll play creatures. So, I mean, Gideon is fine. I could be wrong here. I don't honestly know if it is automatically for the control matchup, though. It might be more for the mid-range matchup.
Yeah. Because
they have like a much harder time taking out that card than the control deck does.
Right. That's definitely why I asked. So, mid-range could be where it just is. Yeah. Maybe not control.
Is Gideon hexproof when he turns?
He's indestructible.
He's
talking to Azorius Charm, the XX Gideon, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's still sweet.
Yeah, I think it's more of a mid-range card. I honestly think the card that's, you know, this deck gets to play Renounce the Guilds to full effect, which is real sick. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. You only have an awkward interaction with, like, Dryad Militant, but otherwise, like, if they Detention Sphere something, you're probably just like, hey, that's funny.
Right. I definitely agree. And, that's the one thing of being, like, being mono-white instead of splashing another color is being able to play Renounce the Guilds is pretty good, you know, pretty good game. I can't really play that card to effectiveness just because of, like, Boros Reckoner. But, you know, it could be something.
Some cards I don't understand, though. I don't understand the one of Frontline Medic very much. And I don't understand the one of Rest in Peace, like, at all.
I mean, maybe, you know, one of his friends had come across some kind of crazy reanimator list with Obsidot's Aid and Ashen Rider. And he's like, no, you're not doing that against me.
But, yeah. But it's, I don't know. I hate the idea of one-offs in an aggro deck, but it's fine, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, that's obviously against the black-white whip deck.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. Like the black-white or black-white-red that do use whip to some effect. I mean, potentially. I think it's just new format. He was just trying to have a catch-all to weird graveyard decks that he might have thought could be there. I don't think it was necessarily sure. A great sideboard card, but it is definitely weird.
He won, so I guess there's that.
Right.
Yeah.
I like Frontline Medic a lot as a card. The format with Sphinx's Revelation, that seems a really good game, as well as, well, I guess Bonfire's not a reality.
No.
But that bashes through your mid-range matchups, like,
No, I agree. Just the one of was a strange number to me. Like, what's the other cards are complementing cards that are in the sideboard, or that card just kind of, like, seems like it's just there by itself.
Well, and maybe this is kind of like the thing when you're playing mono color. Like, they say this in draft all the time. When you play mono black, you're going to play black cards that generally wouldn't make the cut. And maybe we see that here where he's like, well, I've got 14 sideboard cards I like. Well, I guess I just got to pick another one.
I hope not. But it could be. But I would hope that doesn't happen in Constructed very often.
I know, I would hope so too. But then again, how much good game does Mono White have? I mean, maybe you exhaust it in 73 cards. But like you said, probably not, but that could always be a possibility.
Right.
The last couple cards in any 75 tend to need reworked, you know?
Yeah. It's true.
So, I did want to bring up that on this list, on the 5th through 8th list, Matthew Hudas's list is a black-red aggro list, and he's using Tyramet, the Murder King, which is something that I wanted to do week
one. With Purphoros.
With Purphoros and with Young Pyromancer. I really enjoy this list, and I can't believe I didn't see it before. It was like the first time seeing it. I was like, that says Tyramet on it, and I wanted to break that card.
What does Tyramet do?
He is a 2/2 legendary creature for a red and a black, and you can sacrifice another, pay one in a red and sacrifice another creature and deal 2 damage to target opponent, and then you can play one in a black and sacrifice a creature to bring Tyramet back from the graveyard to your hand. He's self-recursive, and he works really well with Young Pyromancer, and that's what I was trying to do, but I just couldn't find, like, the right combination of things. I mean, this list looks pretty good. I'm definitely interested in it, if I want to, you know, snap call into something else, but...
For Molten Rebirth or whatever, too? Oh, man, just all the coin flips.
All the coin flips. Let's do this.
I will say, a lot of these aggro decks are running 4 drops, and, like, 21 or 22 lands, and I feel like, I mean, like, I will say this, if you were playing Magma Jet, that feels a lot worse, like, a lot less, like, bad.
Right.
But I don't know. It's still iffy to me.
Yeah, no, I definitely can see where you're coming from with that one. It's definitely something to consider when you're making your aggro deck and like what your curve looks like. As we can see, the actual decks that performed, you know, well at Star City had, you know, low curves, only went up to 4, relatively low, I guess.
And then that's one of the things in the blue white list that we see that make the lack of, like, I think twice so noticeable, where you're playing Divination on the draw on turn 3, then on turn 4 they're dropping their bomb, and you're like, oh, well, I guess this, like, Azorius Guildgate and Dissolve that I just drew are worthless. And that was kind of one of the things I was listening to. I was listening to some part of maybe the A-Team where they were saying Divination's a great card, but it just feels so weird in this format right now where the turn 4 is just such a big deal. And that card gets absolutely worse in the draw.
Yeah, I mean, ever since I've gotten back in the game, it does feel like that 4-drop spot has been the most competitive. And they just keep, like, I think, like, the Wizards, like, designers, you know, all the guys in Creative are just, like, pushing each other. Because, like, back in Mirrodin, you had the Heroes. And, like, you know, Hero Bladehold was a 4-drop that was just insane. And they're like, you know what? I can top it.
I can do better. Yeah, I mean, that could just be it. Mike, were there any lists in particular that, like, kind of caught your eye?
Mike Lanigan's list, which was, like, 5 through 8 as well, is playing a Nihil list with Purphoros and Domri Raids.
Yeah, I saw that. Which is sweet.
And Scion of Vidugazi, so, like, you're like, oh, Purphoros, then Scion, deal 2, populate, deal 2, deal 2.
Oh, gosh.
And then if you ever get an active, like, a devoted Purphoros and you get to fight with Domri against something, oh, man.
Yeah,
that's gross.
That feels pretty good.
There's a lot of weird numbers in it. There's, like, 3s of everything, which is strange. Like, if it's a new format, and you see these numbers where it's like, yeah, this wasn't tested.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely seems like that. It's weird to definitely see, like, 3 of things, usually. So I'm sure that he got plenty of testing, and I think it would be great to talk to him about if we ever get the chance to run into him. I'm sure he's going to be at Cleveland, so we'll have to definitely try to find him and see how that list ran and see what changes he made. But I think that's definitely an interesting direction to go. Now, I think that a lot of the lists, you know, a lot of the things that we see, especially in the top 8 of this, is we don't see a lot of Burning Earth. Now, I know that the winning list in the Star City did have a 4-4 set, but I don't think that Burning Earth is necessarily a contender you know, anymore. I mean, I just don't see many people, you know, really running it to full effect.
I think the people who are not running it are making the wrong decision, especially going forward this weekend. You had four Esper control lists the top eight at Star City, and you had Christian Calcano, who is a well-known player. People are going to play his list. I want to be the guy who's playing Burning Earth against these people. I want to punish them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because we talk a lot about Burning Earth, you know, between the three of us in real life. And somebody played that card against me at Eponym, and I'm playing Blue Light Control right now. And on two colors, that feels a lot less bad.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
He played two Burning Earths on the field at one time, which, by the way, that was the best detention sphere of my life. But, I took no damage off of two Burning Earths because all my only non-basics for mana are just the Hall of Fountains and the Azorius Guildgates. So it was just, that card's insane, but Burning Earth, but it feels really, really manageable in two colors because you're playing 16 basics.
Yeah.
Well, people's memories in Standard are very short. The reason, like, blue-white started getting popular before rotation is because of Kipler's list that had four Burning Earth.
Yeah.
So, like people, like, now, like, it's a new format. Like, people have this, like oh, new format. Well, we'll just forget about these cards and play all the fun new ones. So I think you can still get some people, but definitely, like, the blue-white list does not care about Burning Earth nearly as much as other control lists would.
Right, and I think there's something to be said about that, too, right, is new format, you're going to try to get greedy to spike an open or to spike, you know, states or a platinum qualifier or whatever. Like, I'm going to get super greedy, dodge all the right bullets that day, and you just notice you come across some of these lists that do that. Now, like, a Sam Church list is very not greedy. Mono white.
17 planes.
Yeah.
Best meta base in Standard.
Yeah, like, that's not very greedy. 21 lands. Almost all of them cast your shit. It's fine. Then you start to get into your, you know, your Esper control lists that we saw at the Open. Those are very, very greedy lists.
Even the blue-white list, if you read, again, the coverage, they have a good write-up of the finals there. Like, Max Teets keeps two hands where he seems to have the right cards, but doesn't draw the right colored mana, and just dies to the mono-red player. Like, he tripped, and the mono-red player made sure he fell and died.
Yeah, pretty much. they tripped him, and they punched him in the face until he was no more. And that's exactly what happened. Like, he just...
Call me the murder
king. He just kept these all-blue hands. All island hands, and he needed white, and he just never saw it. And it was pretty unfortunate to watch it in the finals, just to see, like, all these answers that he had, and then he just couldn't deal with any of the questions that the mono red player was asking, and it was pretty unfortunate.
Yeah, and that's,
that metaphor. Wow,
I tried really hard on that. You should be impressed.
He's beaming from corner to corner right now.
Oh my god, no, I'm not. Judges say no.
And that's one of the things is I don't think the mana base on the blue white list is accurate. Most people are running the eight dual lands. Eight of each basic blue island and planes, and then two mutavolts.
Yes.
I don't think that's correct. Especially, I don't know, it just feels really weird to me right now. I have a lot of awkward hands on Cockatrice or MTGO or whatever when I'm playing where I go, I would really like either more white or more blue based on, you know.
And I will say this, like, and I will not be condescending, I promise, but, like, it's building control mana bases are rough. And in this format, you do probably want more white or more blue, but the problem is you need to be able to cast Dissolve on time against half the decks and Supreme Verdict on time and half the other decks.
Right, right.
You know, or Jace on time. You know, you mean like you know, and Supreme Verdict ends up being the more important one, but every one of your other double costs besides Elspeth are blue. So, like, you want to tip one way or the other, and that's where really losing that extra set of duels really starts to hurt.
Right. Yeah, and hopefully that'll you know, be a little bit relieved when the next set comes out, but you guys do kind of have to wait for that a little bit.
I mean, relieved to the fact that, I mean, you'll get another dual land that's, you know, that scries, but then you got to play some of Gates as well, and then you're going to have hands where, oh, please don't do anything for, you know, turns one through three, because right. I actually can't cast anything.
Yeah, all my lands come into play tapped. Could you slow down? Do you mind?
Oh, man, I have a gate, and I can't even cast my Yoke Docks.
Oh man, this really sucks. Yeah, that'll definitely be awkward when that happens. But I mean, I think we all kind of knew that Standard was going to be a little bit our mana was going to be a little bit awkward.
And we've had sweet, sweet candy for too long.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, Wizards, because we just had to be like, no more. No more candy. You're going to get cavities, and I'm going to have to pay for the dental bills, and I don't want to do that.
Back in my day, we had basic lands and utility lands that were terrible.
Yeah.
You sacrificed birds to draw cards.
And I had to walk to school in 6 feet of snow, forwards and back for 3,000 miles. Well,
and then we made volcanic islands, and we know we messed up.
Yeah, I mean, the mana bases, I feel like they just all feel awkward to me. I even with my, especially with my aggro list, that just feels awkward when you're just like, man, I really just need a red source, and you don't really have one, don't have a lot to come into play untapped, and it just feels bad. Feels bad sometimes.
And, you know, you look at the, like we had at FNM this week, you know, there was a player who was playing a list that was very much like the first place list, except for he was playing Mutavaults, and he still had Reckoners, he still had Burning Tree Emissaries and Ash Zealots, and he won FNM. Like, I think he split first, but I was just like, I kept watching him play, and I'm just like, you know, at some point, you know, like, that's where you talk about the variance in Magic a little bit. Like, you gotta run pretty well. You know what I mean? To not like get those hands where you're like, well, I have a Burning Tree Emissary and Ash Zealot and a Mountain in the Beautiful Vault.
Right, exactly. I wish I could
cast these cards.
Yeah, and I mean, that's obviously going to happen. I mean, but I, you know, I think that's stuff that kind of gets hashed out when we get further in and people know what, you know, decks actually get solidified. Obviously, Mono Red is the deck right now, but I think that you can definitely tune your list to beat it. With making choices and being, you know, conscious of it. I think just a lot of people may have taken it lightly and not really expected it to show up as much as it did.
It's fair.
So, but I mean, like, we typically see this in any new standard. Aggro, you know, comes out the gates running. I think with Return of Ravnica, that was a little weird since a control list was the one that won the first week out. But, I mean, this is kind of just par for the course, and it's exciting to be a part of what, you know, Standard kind of turns into. And that kind of leads us into our question of the week, which is, you know, we obviously have all these deck lists, all this information. You know, what do we do with it? You know, how do we compress and, you know, process information, and, you know, what do we do with it in the end? So, Mike, I know that you've probably been looking at tons and tons of deck lists and results in preparation for Cleveland. So how do you kind of take a look at this information and process it?
Well, definitely I feel like, you know, I've got to like tip my hat and be like, I've sat through a few more rotations than you guys.
But this is my first.
This is my first rodeo?
Yeah, this is my first rodeo.
Judges? No, I got told no on that one.
I'm sorry,
one
I just got too sorry. Excited with that one. My bad.
But, anymore. Never two.
Just like the Reds.
Wow. It's still fresh, buddy.
It won't be with by the time this gets posted. Don't worry, the Indians will have lost by the time this gets posted too. So no. But anyways, you know, I think for sure, you know, it's kind of, you know, before like playing, like when I used to play a lot of FNMs and old standard, and like when I'm thinking back, like, you know, Onslaught Block when I used to play, like you didn't have the luxury of having these lists. Like you had to wait for the next, you know, issue of Inquest to come out, and you'd be like, oh man, what cool list is Inquest that I should play? Spoiler alert, Inquest used to be a magazine that they actually printed on real paper and had Magic prices in it, for those who have never seen such a thing. But now, you know, we have this, you know, Star City Games with all these different lists. We have a lot of pros who put their this and that in there, and I think you've got to really try and balance it. You know, it's really easy just to take someone else's list and say, oh man, this is really good. Like, you know, Mr. You know, Bart Narson there on Twitter this weekend, I saw him like actively upset that people weren't taking his list to top eight. And I'm like, well, it's because your list is untested. Like, it might be fine, you know what I mean? But like, you know, the red-green list that played Chandra's over Xenagos did a lot better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there must have been something in testing there. So I think, you know, what's nice is, you know, with the testing we've done already, we can take the base lists we have and then move away from the, you know, Jordan, I know you got a little bit of ribbing for the, hey, here's my two of each card sideboard. What should I do? You know what I mean? Well, you right. couldn't know what your sideboard was going to look like until now. Like now you get to start, you know, switching those lists. So
right,
like,
right.
you know, how good was Glare of Heresy going to be? Apparently very good. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think having all the access to this information makes the decisions a little bit easier. But I think you also have to use this time to test those different, you know, different cards. Like, so I've been testing Frostborn Weird now this week in my big Boros deck.
Right. Yeah. I was gonna ask, what kind of changes are you planning on implementing? You know, with the list, you know, with the results that we have.
Right, and I think, like, so, like, you know, for, you know, specific example, like, I've been testing Frostborn Weird both in the main and then the sideboard for the mono-red lists to see how well it stonewalls them, because, like, it's like I'm playing a Purphoros list, so it still, you know, turns on Devotion for me, but also just, like, stonewalls, like, it really laughs at, like, the Satyr. It's like, oh, man, you're a 2-1? Nice to meet you. But you're also playing a 1-4 for 2 that really doesn't do very much. You know, it's not that far off of your Yoked Ox territory.
Well, hey, it's a 1-4, but you do have to pay a little bit more for it. No, I really like Frostborn Weird, in all honesty. I do expect the mono-red lists to have that in mind, though, because I think that that definitely is something that does stonewall their deck. I would expect them to maybe shift into Mizzium Mortars or something like that, just to, you know, try to get a removal spell that'll clear the way that does deal that 4 damage.
Well, see, what's nice about those, and you know, the switching to Frostborn Weird also accounts for that shift to the Mizzium Mortars, because then I have a 2-drop they want to use their Mizzium Mortars on, so they won't use their Mizzium Mortars or won't have it anymore for Boros Reckoner, which exactly. They really have a hard time beating. Right. So it all becomes this, like, you know, back and forth on the curve sort of idea. But I mean, you know, you've got to test that way, you know, and as far as the control lists, you know, I considered cutting down to 2 Burning Earth, but then I see 4 copies of Esper, and I'm pretty much for sure going to play at least 3 Burning Earth, if not 4 then, this week, because I like free wins and not having to try very hard.
Right, yeah, and I mean, that's what will happen against for you against, you know, if you have Burning Earth. And I think playing more rather than less, especially for Esper, just for Thoughtseize, I mean, I don't know how many lists actually have Thoughtseize main deck. I don't think Calcano's list did. I think he had 3 sideboard, but I don't think he had any main deck. But I think that they're kind of using that as a way to try to get that out of people's hands if they do see it, amongst, you know, various other hard to deal with permanents like gods and stuff like that. So, I think that you probably want to play more rather than less, maybe like 3. I think 3 seems like a pretty solid number, but I mean, 3 slots on a sideboard, that's definitely a lot to commit. But you're right in saying that if it resolves and they don't have a way to deal with it, it's a free win. I mean, they're going to take a bunch of damage and you're going to murder them to the bone, pretty much.
Murder them to the bone. All right.
Murder them to the bone.
I will say about Thoughtseize is, I mean, against a mid-range deck like myself, they probably will bring it in, but the aggro lists that are playing Burning Earth, bringing in Thoughtseize is so dangerous. Because,
right.
like if they go 1-drop and your 1-drop is shocking you, you know what I mean? Especially if you have to play it off like a Godless Shrine, like, you could actually just lose the game turn 1 because you've dealt 4 damage to yourself.
Right.
So it's something to be aware of in this format. So how about you guys? Like, I know, Morgan, you said you had been talking to whoever came in 9th at Star City about your list.
Yeah. So, Ross Miriam is the gentleman who got 9th place at the recent Star City Games tournament, piloting a white-red list very similar to what, you know, I was trying to get, what Todd Anderson had posted about. And he had made some interesting deck choices, and I was like, well, I mean, there's no better way to get information about how he felt about the list rather than just going to him directly. So I just messaged him on Facebook, and we had a little discussion about it. You know, he said that, you know, the red-green X mid-range decks were a bit of a rough matchup for him. He said that, you know, Mizzium Mortars definitely helps with Dragon, so that might be something you want to consider. He also spoke very highly about just the main deck list, but due to the prominence of mono-red, he was considering maybe cutting Imposing Sovereign, going down to 2 main deck, and then moving the Precinct Captain to the main, just to have 4 Precinct Captains in the main instead of the 3 that he ran in Worcester. It's definitely a lot of changes. He said that the Electricries in the sideboard were, you know, probably better off just being Chandra, Flames of the Firebrand.
Nice.
So I think that's definitely a change I want to make. But, I mean, his list seems like a lot of fun, especially since I get to run Judges Familiars. And I talked to him about the Judge's Familiars, and he said that they were fine. They're just an evasive threat that help, you know, just get there and help turn on, help disable things, and helps them turn on Daring Skyjacks, which he was also playing, which nice. I think is huge. So it just gives you a little bit more evasion, so you can jump over things, which is very, very important in a white weenie list. I was very happy to be able to contact him and discuss the list with him and see what he said. So, I mean, those are the changes I'm making. I think my sideboard's in flux. He said that he wasn't impressed with Boris Reckoners except for the Mono Red matchup. But being that that's probably going to be such a huge matchup, they're probably going to stay in the sideboard. We'll take a look at the list, and I'm definitely going to discuss it with you guys and see what changes you would make. I want to make room for Mizzy Mortars. I just don't know where, you know, so... we'll figure it out. I like the 60. I like the changes of cutting an opposing sovereign, putting in the precinct captain, but that just leaves me in flux with the rest of the sideboard and everything like that. But I mean, with the list that I saw, white-red, I feel still, you know, white-red weenie still feels really good, especially against the control decks, because you have things like, you know, Boris Charm, that's just a natural counter, to Supreme Verdict. Now, and then you have an evasive way of getting through threats with Brave the Elements and just giving all your guys pro blue or pro white or what have you, and just getting in there and just finishing them off. And against, you know, Mono Red, I really feel like this list is one of the natural enemies to Mono Red. Because if they're going to keep playing Burning Tree Emissary and the Rakdos Caterpillar, I have Soldier of the Pantheon, which is pro multicolor, and I gain a life when they cast the multicolor spell. So I'm pretty okay with that.
Soldier's Pantheon and the fourth Precinct Captain. I mean, like, first strike's big game against a bunch of 2/2s.
Right, exactly. And then I just bring in my Boros Reckoners from my sideboard, and I have a good game. And then I have Spirit Paleo. I just make my team bigger than theirs. So
right.
I feel really confident in the list against that matchup and against the two main enemies. So hopefully I just am able to dodge midrange. I think that is a problem for the list. And maybe throwing in some Mizzy Mortar somewhere in the list might make all the difference. So,
and I know I've been feasting off that list on, you know, that program we use. but I will also, you know, that's a good way to, you know, we talk about the question itself. How do we tackle the new information? You know, asking someone who already got to play in it is a good call. But something I will say is, like, you can probably message any pro, and a lot of them are really nice. Like they really are. They will talk to you about anything, unless you're a demanding asshole. so make sure you're not just like, hey, hey, idiot, why did you play this? Why didn't you play this? Probably not going to get anywhere with them.
No.
You know, but if you send them a picture of, like, you know, like your penis, okay, don't do that either.
oh, I messed up. Sorry, Reed.
So, but I think, you know, that's definitely, you know, something that, you know, kind of gets lost in the shuffle. You know, get it? Lost in the... No? All right.
Go get me your drunk.
I'm sorry. So how about you, Jordan? Now, I know you sadly cannot, you know, again, make it to Cleveland, but, you know, you've been testing blue-white. What changes would you be making? You know, how do you go about changing this based off this information from this week?
Sure. The FNM, the deck played pretty well, at least for our local, but I think things are going to be fine. This is my first experience ever playing control in Magic. And let me tell you, there is no greater feeling than not caring at all what your opponent's about to play, because you just have a dissolve in your hand. And you're like, they're in the think tank, and they're like racking their brain, and you just take a mental break. And I'm thinking about, like, the stock exchange, the government, you know. Like, I'm thinking about everything but Magic. I'm going like, hey, can I go piss?
My future.
Right. Like, yeah, anything. And they just play like they're bombing. Like, oh, and then you pretend to think for a minute because it's fun. And then you play Dissolve, and they're like, oh, man, yeah, you got me. And I'm like, oh, dude, sorry. That's a good feeling of not caring what they play because you
have. So Jordan likes being an asshole. Never would have guessed.
Dude, it's the best. the only card that I just, like, couldn't beat and just kind of, like, awkwardly stared at was Obsidot. Mm. And that card was pretty good. I got my opponent that was playing the black-white reanimator with the whip. Played one and forgot to blink it, so I Supreme Verdict it. But you played a second one, and he didn't forget again. So
he learned his lesson.
He took me from 18 to dead with just Obsidot. And it was a really long game because I'm like sphinxing and like stuff like that, but I don't have an answer to that in the current 75. And I can't think of an answer to that.
Yeah, we've been really working on that. Like, you're playing the Celestial Flare is probably the best thing that we have right now.
Then there was the thing with that was I jaced into a Celestial Flare, so he doesn't attack.
Right, of course.
And I'm just like, oh, well, okay. And, I mean, you get a Zorius Charmin and counter it. I mean, you have options, but again, I really wanted to play Rapid Hybridization. Like, that was a card that I wanted when – that's the card I thought of when I was playing against. I was like, man, if I had a Rapid Hybridization, this wouldn't be a problem at all. And a guy in our test group, a teammate in front of the show, John Meidinger, was playing that. And he said it worked out for him.
He was also able to kill the dragon. I watched him kill the dragon a few times with it when he would not have been able to deal with it otherwise because I had Pro White. So, you know, that's, you know, just stuff like that. Like, that's a good card. That's a good choice.
And, I mean, that's not something that we saw in any of the lists that we've seen already. So you could have your super secret tech and just, you know, get on it. Oh, you won't be there. It's so sad.
Oh, no, I still believe, but.
It's so sad. I just made myself sad. I could have got a deck tech with Ruben. And he could be like, hey, Ruben, look at my Rapid Hybridization. They'd be like, get the hell away from me.
Well, it would have been like, it would have been the most awkward deck tech ever. So, like, why do you play these cards? I don't know, because Jerry T played them on his list. So, what would you bring these cards in? Like, and it's like Blair Heresy. And I'm like, against decks that play white cards. Like, so that's it, huh? Yeah, I mean, it's exile, white permanent. That's really good against white cards.
I'd bring that in against decks that play Elk Bowler.
Oh, mono redless, it's not that good against. And testing has shown that.
Jesus. Okay, well, see, that's kind of part of the question, though, is like hopefully, you know, after delving into the format, you aren't just picking up a deck and going, well, these cards seem like they're good. Because you know, there's a lot of these decks I can look at, and you know, it's really easy to be like, well, I think this was a mistake. You know, like I can make fun of, you know, Max Teets and his yoked oxes, but that guy sat in the finals chair, and I haven't done that, so he must have done something, right? You know,
right, exactly.
Farming. I
mean, they were in there for a reason, and
plowing land.
Sure, they were effective. They kind of looked bad when any of his opponents had like a Fire Fist Striker or something like that. But what are you gonna do?
Not play yoked ox.
Yeah, not play you. Probably play somewhere Last Breaths or Celestial Flares or something.
That card's insane, by the way.
Yeah. Last Breath?
I mean, yeah.
That card was really good. That card was really good against the mono red list, and then I played like a red white heroic deck with just abused like heroic deck. Target is dude with Magma Jet, and I was so confused. And then like I thought about it for 2 seconds, and I was like, oh, the stack, LOL. So and then he just like stomped my face game one.
Yeah. Now, something that I think, I don't know if it necessarily was a huge impact on the Star City tournament, but I know that availability week one for a lot of cards is sometimes a problem. Mike, did you see any lists that you think were just impacted just because people couldn't get cards?
You know, normally once you get to the top 8 for Star City, it's hard to sort of tell. Like, if there's something, like, random that they just... Like, you look at some of the decks that had the 3s in them, and you're like, well... You know what I mean? Like, or the decks that have, like, one of Mutavault, and you wonder if they just couldn't find other Mutavaults, or if that's actually... You know, it's hard to tell in the beginning of the format, which I think is really funny, because sometimes you get these lists that have that one of that you... You know, you find out later through, like, a... You know... like an anecdote in one of their articles that like, oh yeah, I forgot to do this. And you're like, oh, I thought that was like really techie. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like I look at the, like there's a black, red, white midrange that took 27th at Star City. It's a Greg Cohen's list. It has like 3 Bloodbarons in the main, Reckoners and Desecration Demons. And has 1 Obs of that in the 75, but it's at the sideboard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like 1 Chandra in the main. And like these are one ofs that like, it's like, you know, how often do these come up in testing? Are you playing one ofs because you own one ofs? Like, it's really, you know, you want to say like, oh man, maybe it's just a really cool one of, or you're like, you know, maybe you just didn't have it.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's really hard to tell. And I know locally that's more of an issue. You know, the Star City writers are all going to have access to whatever card they want.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to happen. But, like, for us, like, I know on Friday, you know, I was running around to everybody in our group, like, hey, buddy, can I borrow this? Hey, can I borrow this? You know, Morgan opened a Stormbreath Dragon while he was at work on Friday, and this whore was there. Like, I drove out to his work, and I was like, hey, buddy, you got the hookup?
Yeah.
And then he tried to sell me meth. It was weird.
Went out to his car like I was a drug dealer and gave him cards.
Well, it was like I was cracking packs just from a box that I had bought at F&M, and I opened a dragon. And the guy sitting across from me, Brian Keller, was like, hey, I need to play that tonight. It was just like, oh, you're out? Here you go. He's like, sweet, play set and made. Like, And just, that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much
hopefully, you know, going into this week, it won't be as much of an issue. But definitely, you know, if you want to play a certain deck and you still have the cards for it, you either got to find, you know, you want to talk about finding a substitute. But, you know, generally, if your card does a very specific thing, like, well, I can't find another Obsidot, so Siphon Soul is probably just as good because it makes each opponent lose two life, makes it gain two life. You know what I mean? Like you can't like just like find something that's a terrible card compared to it. But, you know, sometimes you just got to make do. And I think it's, you know, definitely, and this is kind of a generic thing for the whole format, but, like, you know, when you limit your scope, it does sort of breed creativity. You know what I mean? So, like, the decks had to get more creative when there's less cards in the format in general. But if you have access to less cards, you also have to be a little more creative with what your deck does.
Right.
So, I think it's kind of interesting.
That's why, you know, I usually try to not trade and just hold every standard card near to my heart so I can keep it and always switch and try to be that guy that doesn't stick to a deck. But
oh, guys, I got the best compliment that I could get as a relatively new competitive player. I was trading to get up to blue-white. Okay? This is mildly relevant based on you just saying that you always wanted to always have your cards. This guy's looking through my binder, and he goes, wow, dude. Do you need anything besides that Elspeth? Because you have a lot of stuff that I want. And I was like, oh, man. Usually I'm the guy that's, like, apologizing for my binder. And I'm like, dude, I'll buy you the cards you need. But no, this guy was just like, what else can I give you? I'm like, what is this, Christmas?
Right.
You'll just take this card that I'll never touch, and you'll give me cards I need. What in the hell? So that was not really relevant at all, actually, now that I say it out loud.
And that's how Jordan learned how to trade.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Tell him it's only worth a dollar when it's actually worth five.
I didn't say shark him. God.
I mean, it's definitely exciting to have access to this information, and it's really hard to determine what to do with it, just because it is new, and we're not quite sure where these lists are going to fall. It's nice to have a base, though, instead of just complete speculation. So I think all of us are going to be tuning our lists, especially the ones going to Cleveland, to be able to beat what we expect to see there. Now, another factor that I'm sure that we'll discuss, you know, in our play group is just if our actual area is going to have an impact with what we expect to see there. Because I know that I feel that a lot of people are going to want to play a mid-range deck, because you typically the Columbus, the Ohio area is big on playing mid-range. But I also expect to see a lot of control, because I think a lot of people just want to play blue in the area locally. So that's what I would expect.
Yeah. I will say this about the control decks. You know, something else is important about the information, like trying to tackle it, is a lot of people don't know how to play the control decks in this format.
Right.
You saw a little bit of it on Saturday, but, like, people are so used to playing Flash and have been playing a Flash-style deck since its inception, pretty much since Delver was a thing, where they're so used to, like, you know, rarely tapping out on their turn, you know, always having mana up to counter things. And, you know, in this format, you really have to make a decision. You don't have, with the exception of, like, Bant colors where you have, like, you know, Advent of the Worm, you don't have a Restoration Angel type effect. You definitely don't have Snapcaster anymore, you know what I mean? So, like, you have to be a much more diligent with your spells, like, you know, like trying to get good, you know, trying to get the best value out of like, your verdict without dying, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also knowing how to use your mana correctly. And I think these first few weeks, definitely when you come against some of these players playing control lists, they're going to be playing them wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's something, you know, hopefully that you can build your deck, and play, well enough to take advantage of it.
Yeah. Yeah, most certainly. And I think that's what we are all trying to do and get, you know, in preparation for Cleveland. So I think it's a good enough note to wrap everything up on. And, you know, we'll be back next week. Mike and I will be here with our Cleveland stories. So rain or shine, you know, we'll definitely be talking out and telling you guys what happened. I'm sure
all of you guys know how work goes.
I was about to say, I'm sure Jordan will tell us how work went. And
I'll tell you what the stream was, because that's what I'll do with my job.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll get on there and you'll be like, hey, I know those guys.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be great. Hey, I mean, Mike and I have both been on camera. Mike, you've been on camera, right?
I have not been on camera. I have had innumerable fake feature matches where I sit at the little table with this planeswalker that's right next to the camera table. And I played a number of pros in this fashion, but I seem to never be the one who's called up to the big leagues.
Oh, man.
So,
really?
What is that table for?
It's so other people can stand around and watch you lose to a pro.
Right, exactly. Man, I really hope that, Mike gets a camera match this weekend. I think that'd be pretty sweet. So we have all, but you can't win though, Mike. I'm sorry, you just can't.
Well, to be fair, at least I can't. I officially cannot lose to a Soren on camera.
Oh,
it is no longer in the format.
You're just the best.
Oh, the daggers,
the low blows. The well, daggers. I think that's been a great show this week, guys.
Wow, you weren't supposed to be that offended. Jeez.
So we'll be back next week post SCG Cleveland with some great stories for you guys. Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a great one.